Welcome to the Occult London Podcast. This is a new podcast dedicated to exploring magic, mysticism, the Kabbalah, as well as other topics. This episode is part of a new series exploring the symbolism and mysteries of the tarot trumps in relation to the Western mystery tradition. Each week we will be looking at a different tarot card. These are meant to be short introductions, so will not be an exhaustive examination of them, but rather a taster to get you started and thinking. If you like the podcast, please make sure to visit our website at www.occultlondon.co.uk, where you can subscribe to the show, and you can also find us on Facebook at Occult London Podcast, or also on YouTube if you type in Occult London Podcast. This week we are going to be discussing the tarot card of the Wheel of Fortune. I realise this is being released slightly later than it should really be in terms of the order. However, it took a bit more time to get the notes together to record the episode. So hopefully that's not going to upset too many people. As usual, we'll start the episode by looking at the basic correspondences of the tarot card itself. And for the purpose of this, we have been using John Michael Greer's Paths of Wisdom book, which I would highly recommend to anybody who is interested in finding out more. So to begin with, the Hebrew letter of the path is Kaf, which means hand. The name of God is Al or El. The astrological correspondence is Jupiter. The tarot correspondence, obviously, is the Wheel of Fortune. The esoteric title is Lord of the Forces of Life. The Yetzeratic path text is as follows. The 21st path is the intelligence of conciliation and is so called because it receives the divine influence which flows into it from its benediction upon all and each existence. The mythological principle is aspiration. And the experiences of the path are flight or views from a high place, journeys among or up mountains, brilliant light, often rainbow-coloured, emotional exhilaration. Entities of the path include pilgrims, journeying, eagles and other winged beings. And finally, the magical image of the card is an arch of clear violet, bearing the letter Kaf in brilliant white on its keystone. The door in the arch bears the image of the trump. So as we see, so obviously those are the correspondences which is worth doing a bit more research on yourselves if you are interested in finding out more. We'll now move on to more of the Kabbalistic attributions of the path and some of the key points which I wanted to share with you. So as we can see, if we look at our diagram of the Kabbalistic Tree of Life, so the Wheel of Fortune card actually sits between the Sephira of Kesed and Netzach on the Pillar of Mercy. And it has various different titles associated with it. So obviously we've mentioned one previously, which is Lord of the Forces of Life. But there are some other titles as well, which include Rewarding Intelligence for Those That Seek, Intelligence of the Desirous Quest, and Intelligence of Conciliation. And these three titles are mentioned by Paul Clark in his excellent Hermetic Kabbalah book. And he describes this, and it's a really good way of kind of thinking about this particular path in terms of how it works on the Tree of Life. So he describes the first one as reward for those who seek, as being very much representation of the seat of Kesed. So as we've discussed before in our previous episode on the seat of Kesed, that is very much the sphere of the kind of ascended masters and the concept of union with cosmic love. The next one, the desirous quest. So this is very much talking about that desire that emerges from Netzach. So obviously if we've got the base, we've got Netzach, which is the seat of desire. And then above that is the reward, which is Kesed. So it's that desire that powers the engine of aspiration. It's the fire of desire that sort of burns up and takes us up into that ascended place. And then also the secret to channeling that fire is through this conciliating path. And as we've seen before, that is one of the key aspects of the Yetziratic path text, when it says the 21st path is the intelligence of conciliation, and is so called because it receives the divine influence which flows into it from above, and its benediction upon all and each existence. So it's this conciliation of uniting that kind of cosmic love and that desire, and it's where the two meet that there we get this kind of balance with regards to the Wheel of Fortune card. And he says in his excellent book, and this is a quote, "The desire force in Netzach is one of the most powerful expressions of transformation. It can be selfish, destructive, and damaging, or when properly directed, can remake our world into the image of divine love. It is our self-consciousness that controls these formulations. Through this power, we will develop the power of empathy, feeling with others. This power helps us move beyond our personal limits of self-consciousness to the freedom of superconsciousness. In this state, we experience and express the pleasure of being a vehicle for the fulfillment of the cosmic desire." And then he also says as well, and these quotes are from the Hermetic Kabbalah by Paul Clark, "The desire nature is energized and focused by intense aspiration and shines upon those patterns of error, revealing them for what they are: lies, mistakes, and misconceptions. Then, by following the stream of consciousness backwards to our origins, we remember the truth about our divine nature and the truth of spirituality, immortality, and unity. We remember the truth that we are all expressions of the divine light, the truth that we are manifestations of light in extension, and individualized rays of the one light of love." So as we can see from those two excellent quotes, he's talking about this balance, this desire force within us that sits within Netzach. It can obviously send us off in a very kind of destructive or dark path, but obviously if we use it correctly and direct it, and also use our willpower and our imagination, which is obviously one of the key tools that the magician has to develop, then we begin to remake the world into that image of divine love. And that will obviously carry you up through that Wheel of Fortune, through this sort of cycle of the Ouroboros, the eternal cycle upwards, and then potentially out of that eternal cycle. So this card's obviously a very big card in terms of massive changes. As Crowley says in his Book of Thoth, this card thus represents the universe in its aspect as a continual change of state. And that's Crowley from Book of Thoth. And Gareth Knight, who we've also mentioned on other episodes, also mentions this when he says, "Kesed represents that part of the individuality where the pure image of what the individuality intends to be is held. This image should be a true reflection of the will of the spirit. The sephira into which the influence of Chesed flow via the 21st path is Netzach. Representing the creative imagination and higher emotions within the personality. Thus, the potencies of this path are responsible for the ideals and aspirations which capture the imagination of man. And this is from A Practical Guide to Kabbalistic Symbolism, which is a very interesting book. It is quite heavy going, takes quite a lot of getting used to, but there is some gems in there as well. So I would definitely recommend it as another book which is worth reading. And that kind of idea, what Knight is talking about there as well. So this is very much about the imagination of man being kind of a key really to that union between higher and lower parts of the personality, and also the idea of it obviously uniting and getting them to work together. The letter of the path, as you saw, the Hebrew letter is kaf, which means hand. It can also mean grasp or comprehend. Hands obviously have references in gambling, for instance. So you have the concept of being dealt a bad hand, but also, you know, mystical connotations. For instance, the hand of God in Michelangelo's Sistine Chapel. You also get the symbolism within the Jewish faith as well of the hand of God. Gareth Knight again has this to say about the hand, which I thought was worth sharing. The benediction which flows from this path, that is the work of destiny or love under will, which makes all things new and helps to bring the kingdom to earth, in turn draws down by its downward outflowing the cosmic resources of the spiritual realms. Thus is the initiate called, one who owns nothing but has the use of all things. To own something for the sake of ownership is to block the flow. To use all one's talents and possessions in the service of others is to act as a channel for cosmic resources. This is the aim of all magic and the true meaning of priesthood. And again, that's from A Guide to Kabbalistic Symbolism, Volume 2. So what we can see from that quote is, you know, very much the initiate or magician, you know, trains him or herself through this trials of initiation and experience so that we can become almost like that hand through which the divine love flows and assists others. And going back to the idea of the melting pot between the desire of Netzach and this divine love of Chesed, if our desire is in line with our kind of true will, then that will connect with that higher aspect and you'll become a kind of conduit, ideally, for helping others to evolve and achieve their true potential. Moving on to some mythological ideas of the path as well. So obviously the Wheel of Fortune can be, you know, very much related to concepts of desire. So remember that fire flowing from Netzach. Or we can also look at the power of Jupiter in Chesed. Gods of chance and gambling could also be relevant here. So for instance, you've got Hermes, who's known as kind of the Greek god of gambling. In the Egyptian pantheon, we have Thoth, who's also the god of magic and learning. In the Chinese system, we have the god Nezha. Apologies if I'm not pronouncing that right. And according to legends, around 3,000 to 4,000 years ago, during the Shang dynasty in northeastern China, Nezha's mother had been pregnant for 3.5 years before she gave birth to him. When she finally went into labour, she gave birth to a small ball of flesh. Her husband was very upset about this, and he had a very big tantrum and smashed the ball with his sword. Out popped Nezha, who is this the god. And he soon showed he had magical powers and was widely known to be kind of full of mischief. He was incarnated and sent by the emperor at the time to sort of fight the demons throughout the human world. And he killed the third son of the Dragon King and got away with it. But in the end, yeah, he kind of commits suicide according to this particular version of the legend. But after his death, his mother builds a temple in his honour. And after 3 years, he essentially comes back and is this kind of god of gambling and luck. And he's often depicted as a youth instead of an adult, so flying on his wings of wind of fire wheels. So quite similar to the concept of Hermes as well, who was very much the kind of Greek god of gambling, hazard earning and gaming. So he was actually one of the gods that players would often pray to before they participated in games and sort of sports as well. So, but he's also what you must remember, a trickster. So kind of, although you might have the desire to win, he might potentially spin that wheel of fortune and you would not end up being so lucky. It's very much kind of depends on the mood. From the Hindu tradition, we also have Lakshmi as well, who's the goddess of fortune, wealth and prosperity. She is the wife of the god Vishnu, and although she's very kind of powerful in terms of bringing fortune and wealth, she's also got tradition around her in terms of being against greediness, and she will obviously kind of stop things if people become too greedy from that point of view. So that concludes our episode on the Wheel of Fortune. I hope everyone's enjoyed it. Thanks very much for joining us on this week's episode of the Occult London podcast. Please make sure to visit our website at www.occultlondon.co.uk, where you can subscribe to the show. If you can leave a review on iTunes, that'd be really helpful as well. We're trying to really push and develop this podcast so that we can get some really great content out to everybody out there. Thanks very much and have a great evening, everyone. Thank you.